Morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again. Can you believe that this is now our 16th week of online services? Yep, 16 times you've been at church in your pyjamas, watching the TV or the laptop or your phone or your tablet as we do church together. And you know as well that it's now 4 months since we met together physically at the Green Park Centre. The last Sunday we had was on the 15th of March. That's 112 days ago. That's a third of a year. And it seems now that we've been in this situation for so long that it's become our new normal. I mean, I haven't had a haircut since then. My new normal is to just keep growing my hair. And I'm badly needing to get it cut because I don't think my hair's been this long since 1987. But if you can remember back in March, just before we went into lockdown, about 3 weeks before lockdown started, we had a Sunday called Vision Sunday, where I delivered a review of Falkirk Vineyard's activities from 2019 and spoke of our plans for 2020. You probably remember it most of all because it was a very long talk. I got into a lot of trouble about that because I went on for a long time. So today I promise you that this will be concise and brief because I know you're all busy sitting in your armchairs. So, but little did we know that then that 2020 was going to end up looking a wee bit different from what we thought and what we had planned for. So today, I just want to give you an update, like a Vision 2020 update from lockdown. And just have a quick look back at some of the stuff that God's been doing in our church over the past 112 days. And then towards the end of our time today, I just want to have a wee glimpse into what may be ahead of us as we start to see the lockdown measures being relaxed. And also, we'll be hearing from our board of trustees. Well, one of them actually. We're going to hear from Pete Costello, who is the chair of our trustees, and he's going to share with us how things stand from the trustees' perspective. But when we came into lockdown back there in March, one of the first casualties for us was baptism. We had planned to baptise 3 people on the 29th of March, which sadly did not go ahead. Now, other than kitting these 3 guys out in spacesuits, baptism was never a possibility with COVID-19 around. Our next baptism service is still on the calendar. It's due on the 30th of August. But we don't anticipate that things will be in a place where it's safe to baptise people on that date. However, as soon as it is safe to do so, we will find a way to safely and appropriately baptise you 3 who have been waiting patiently, and hopefully many more. Because as we've been doing our church online, we have had 4 people press the raise your hand button during our services to indicate that they've given their life to Jesus. And we've seen a guy make a commitment at our Love Falkirk pantry. And there may be more. We just don't know. We know that there are more people watching our church online than were coming to our services at the Green Park Centre. But we don't know who they all are. And we are hoping, we are praying, we are trusting God that people are coming to church, not just to our church, but other churches online, and committing and dedicating and giving their lives over to Jesus. So we pray that in his name. So at the start of lockdown, we changed the Sunday online services straight away, and a midweek online service as well with small groups straight after. And before I go any further, I'd just like us to show our appreciation for the incredible work that goes into doing and presenting and to producing church online. And particularly to Kenny, our associate pastor, who from the first minute got to work on how we could do this well, do it efficiently and do it effectively. Going online caused us to implement change very, very quickly. But thankfully, we had Kenny's talent and experience with media to fall back on. So Kenny, I knew that film and media studies degree that you got from Stirling Uni was going to come in handy one day. So, but putting together one service takes at least a full day out of Kenny's working week. And that's when everything goes well, when nothing goes wrong. So Kenny, thanks. We really appreciate the monumental effort that you've given and continue to give to make online church happen. And I also want to thank our worship pastor, Ryan. For the first few weeks in lockdown, he, along with Aidan, his son, were knocking out video after video of worship sets, including some new songs that they had recently written. And of course, we've had great blessing from others in our worship team as they have stepped up to lead us into God's presence week after week. And again, this is no small thing. The finished article that we see on a Sunday and on a Thursday that lasts for about 10 minutes can take hours to produce. It can be take after take, frustration after frustration, particularly when we have recordings happening in two different locations. So Ryan and all the worship team, we say thank you. We love you, we honour you, and we bless you. Our first priority when we had to isolate was to work on keeping us all connected and to have continuity in our small groups and FV Kids and FV Youth. We were also right in the middle of a Freedom in Christ course, which we were determined to see completed so that those who were on that journey saw it through. So we are so grateful to our small group leaders, our Freedom in Christ leaders, our youth pastors, Andrew and Jasmine, and to Rachel, our kids pastor, for keeping the plate spinning as we navigated those early days. Small group Zoom calls, Freedom in Christ on Zoom, FV Youth Live on Instagram, and kids' videos galore kept us together as a church family. And so did the Daily Bread videos that so many of you contributed to. And we even managed to do a Connect party on Zoom for people who were newer to the church, which was amazing. And I just want to encourage you in one area, guys. We still believe that small groups are the best way to get connected into church. They are the best way to ensure that you're part of this community, that you belong, and you feel that you're part of something. And I would just encourage you, if you're not in a small group, or maybe you've just attended once or twice through this current term, we've got 2 weeks left. So why don't you go to the website, falkirkvineyard.com/small groups, and sign up for the last 2 weeks of small group. Because the series we're doing, if you haven't been at one before, you won't miss out on anything because they're all like kind of standalone discussions. So I'd encourage you, like, just do it. Just be part of it. You know, it's not too late. We just love everybody getting involved. And we're having a blast. Lorraine and I have loved seeing everybody come together on one Zoom call. You know, seeing all your faces, getting a bit of chat and banter at the beginning. And then we worship, we watch our video talk, and then we break into our small groups to discuss what we've heard and to pray together. So guys, get involved. And if you don't know how to get onto Zoom, then contact us at info@falkirkvineyard.com and we'll get someone to talk you through how to do that. But regardless of the unprecedented changes we have seen, the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ does not change. And the vision that God has given us has not changed either. When we planted this church 6 years ago, we captured what the Lord wanted us to be and to do in a couple of sentences. And we wrote this as our vision statement for Falkirk Vineyard. We are a church in the community, serving the community, changing one life at a time. We are a Bible-based church with the aim of training and developing disciples and leaders to extend the kingdom of God. In our church, we want children, young people and adults to worship with passion, hear God's word, be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, be made welcome, become part of God's family. And we will take Jesus into the community to reach the lost, feed the hungry and heal the broken. That statement still describes what we do as a church. And nowhere is this vision more evident than in Love Falkirk, our compassion ministry. We rebranded our compassion ministries as Love Falkirk exactly 1 year ago. But this was much more than a name change or a rebrand or a PR exercise. The renaming to Love Falkirk coincided with the opening of our food pantry in Camlin that saw us provide for, connect with and build relationship with more people than we had done before. Love Falkirk is led by Blair and Lindsay Henderson, and it is their vision to see lives transformed and rescued from the effects of poverty. And that's what drives them forward to do more. And they also know that the only lasting thing that brings effective change is a heart that turns to Jesus. A few months ago, we were probably about 6 or 7 months into after having opened the pantry, and I was chatting to Lindsay, who along with Blair lead Love Falkirk. And Lindsay was contemplating the fact that we do great stuff in feeding people, but what more can we do for them? What more can we do to reach them for Jesus? How can we make the pantry and our food provision more than just feeding people? Well, how the food pantry has changed during lockdown will answer that question. At our Vision Sunday in March, I showed you this slide that shows our food provision from 2018 to 2019. Love Falkirk provided 11,776 meals in 2019 compared to Storehouse in 2018 of 4,536 meals. And we predicted that in 2020 we might double our capacity, and we thought that was a fairly ambitious target to set. But how wrong we were. In lockdown, the need amongst families increased dramatically, but it is also the number of single men that we have provided for during lockdown that has really surprised us. We are finding middle-aged men that are out of work coming to us, older men with health issues who are retired or are early retired, young guys released from prison due to COVID, and guys who are destructively addicted to alcohol and drugs. You know, we've had one guy who's been regularly coming to our pantry every week since the start of lockdown. He's in his early 30s. He has addiction issues. And a number of weeks ago, we'd just been getting to know him, and he took a heart attack. And it was all connected to his abuse and his addictions. Thankfully, he's doing okay. He's got medication to kind of keep him going. But, you know, we are looking at heartbreak and devastation in the eyes of these young men, and we just pray that God will use us and will do something dramatic to change their lives. But in lockdown, this is what Love Falkirk now looks like in terms of numbers. Between January and March this year, we were providing for an average of 15 households per week. In lockdown, we are providing for an average of 70 households per week. And before lockdown, we provided on average 300 meals per week. When we say providing meals, we measure that by if we give a family of one or a household of one food for groceries for 1 week, then that's 3 meals for 7 days, so that's about 20 meals. So we were averaging 300 meals per week before lockdown. And if we had continued that throughout 2020, we would have provided 15,600 meals by the end of this year. However, we have been provided an average of an incredible 2,900 meals per week during lockdown. That means that in the first 6 months of this year, we have already supplied 4 times more meals than we provided in the whole of 2019. On Vision Sunday back on the 1st of March, we said that Falkirk Vineyard would focus on being 5 things. Outward focused, compassionate, generous, servant hearted, and doing things well. And our hope is that all these aims describe everything that we do as a church. We are passionately committed to generously blessing those outside of the church with compassion, humility, and excellence. So I'm going to hand over to Pete in a second, but I just want to ask you to pray for the community that we have gathered at the food pantry. Broken people, desperate people, hungry people. And would you pray that our volunteers, who are amazing, who show up every week to serve and to bless the people who come along, would you pray for them that they would get opportunities to pray and speak into the life and to the hopelessness that we are seeing and are confronted with every week? And also, we have volunteers at Love Falkirk who don't belong to our church, and some of them don't belong to any church. And we want you to pray for them as well, that in doing this, in serving Jesus, that they would find Jesus and they would commit their life to him and see their life changed and transformed as well. And we want to continue to pray for revival. When I look at the poverty, when I look at the addiction, the brokenness and the hopelessness around the area that we serve with the food pantry, my heart breaks. I feel hopeless. I feel like, what can I do? How can I break this? And I know there's only one thing that can do that, and that is an almighty move of the Holy Spirit in our town. So guys, will you pray for revival? Will you pray that God will send his Spirit and transform lives into kingdom, to make them kingdom citizens that would go on to prosper and have amazing lives and would show others the love of Jesus as well. Finally, I just want to talk about the financial provision that we've received for Love Falkirk. We started applying for funding at the start of the lockdown, and we have been blessed to have received over £18,000 worth of funding so far during lockdown. God has been incredibly generous in his provision for us. And I just want to let you know that Love Falkirk now takes no money from church funds, that we are able to entirely fund Love Falkirk from outside sources. And we say thank you, God, because we needed that. We needed God to provide for us as a church financially. And I'm going to hand over to Pete now, who's going to talk about that in a bit more detail.
Good morning. Pete Costello sharing with you this morning. At our most recent board meeting, we were discussing a number of things, including some of the challenges that are facing us right now as a church with regards to our finances. As a body, we felt that we wanted to share that with you, the wider congregation, and Andrew certainly felt that it would be useful for one of the trustees to come and share with him today. And as you can see, it was me who drew the short straw. In a moment, I'd like to share with you two slides. The first slide is looking at our finances as they were a couple of months ago in the past. And the second slide I would like to share with you is looking at our finances as they stand at the moment, the present. And I do that in the hope that together we will begin to shape our financial situation for the future over the next couple of months. So by the power of Kenny's swift hand, we should be looking at the first of those two slides right now. Now, this slide was first shown to us back in February as part of Vision Sunday and part of Andrew's talk. For those of you who were there, you may well remember that this slide painted a very bleak picture of our financial situation at the time. It showed very clearly that at the current rate of expenditure, by July, by about now, we would be running out of money, running out of reserves, and in effect would be insolvent. Now, it was our intention as a Board of Trustees to meet towards the end of March to review the current position on the finances and also to take a steer from what we felt the Lord was saying. But that was all pushed aside, like so many things, as a result of COVID-19. That meeting got postponed until June. Early in May, during the month of May, Ruth Allen, who is our treasurer at Falkirk Vineyard, reported that she felt we might have some very difficult decisions to make in that up-and-coming meeting. And when we say difficult decisions, we are talking about reducing some of our staffing hours and possibly even looking at redundancies. Now, I think it's fair to say on behalf of the Board of Trustees, it was not a meeting that we were particularly looking forward to, and certainly a meeting that was full of apprehension and heavy-heartedness. However, as that meeting went on, we had a real sense that the Lord was saying something, and we felt that rather than Falkirk diminishing, we felt what the Lord was saying to us, that Falkirk was to grow, and certainly it was to go deeper. As we continue to look at those finances, we also asked Andrew to give us a steer of what he felt was going on within the churches in Falkirk, but also from his wider colleagues and wider network of what they felt was happening within the churches in Scotland. And the more Andrew shared with us, the more we realised that our heavy-heartedness and apprehension had begun to evaporate, and it was replaced with great excitement and boldness and a great sense of expectation that the Lord was going to do something new. So shortly after that meeting, Ruth was able to pull together a more up-to-date spreadsheet of what our financial position is, and I'd like to share that with you now in the form of slide two. Now, what you can see from slide two is that our financial position that was looking pretty bleak in July has suddenly moved all the way over to April of next year, which is really exciting. Now, it is fair to say that that move is in part to do with COVID-19. We have certainly seen our costs go down dramatically. We're not hiring the hall for Sunday morning services, for instance. Also, ministry expenses have been dramatically reduced because we have been stuck in lockdown. But it would not be fair to put it all down to that. One area where we have seen substantial growth in income is the whole area surrounding Love Falkirk. We've seen a dramatic increase in grant giving. We've also seen an abundant supply of stock arriving to bless the many poor and marginalised. And as we've just heard from Andrew, not only are the poor and marginalised being blessed substantially by the work of that ministry, but equally what we're seeing is that the agencies, the partner agencies that we're working with, are also being blessed by that ministry. And we have a Christ-centred ministry gaining great favour within Falkirk Vineyard Council, which is just amazing. So it's important for us to recognise what the Lord has done, and we must give him praise and honour and glory for his position. It's very exciting. However, there's always a but. I would be remiss if I did not press upon you that our red line of July has not gone away. It has simply moved to April of next year. Now, personally, I do not see this red line moving, some form of God giving us breathing space in order to get our act together or for us to get our ducks in a row so that we can do church properly. We're doing church properly. It's just that God wants to do more. It's our sense, therefore, as a board of trustees, that something different is happening here. Could the Lord be providing this time to enable us to prepare? Is he getting us ready? So it is 9 months until April, and it might be coincidence, but as you know, a baby takes 9 months to be ready to be born. So is the Lord wanting to birth a new thing within Falkirk Vineyard? The leadership have a sense that yes, it is what the Lord wants to do, and we certainly support them 100% as a board of trustees. So my question to you is, if that discernment is correct, are you in? Is it something that you are for? It is a genuine question before you rush in to answer that question. I believe the question needs careful consideration. Jesus tells us that it is a wise man who counts the cost before he begins to build the house. So I feel it demands consideration because it is much more in my view than about percentages of giving, which is not something I personally subscribe to anyway, because my understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he died for all of me. He died for all of me. He did not die for selective parts of me. It was 100%. When I met Jesus for the first time at 19 years old, I was overwhelmed by the love that I felt he had for me. But I also had to take time to weigh the cost of following him. My hopes and dreams would become his. Where I live, play, work would be designed by his hand. What happens to the income that we receive as a family would be for him to spend. And more specifically for me, the bigger challenge, my time would become his to command. You see, my Bible tells me that my Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But before we get carried away with our amens and hallelujahs and praise the Lord, we need to read the small print. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 says that we are to go and make disciples of all nations. And he spoke that not just to the men, but to the women and the children too. We are to go and make disciples of all nations. And Philippians 2 teaches me very powerfully that it is Christ in me that is the hope of glory, and it is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. You see, Jesus Christ will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail, but he chooses to do it through you and I. The Lord is looking to build his church and he is looking to build the ministry of Falkirk Vineyard Church. We are certain of that. Andrew and Lorraine are fantastic, as you already know, and they have my 100% support. I am totally committed to them and for them, as I am their excellent leadership team. However, they are pretty much maxed out. Short of going without sleep, I'm not sure that they can serve us anymore. So, Falkirk Vineyard family, to slide 3 that is yet to be filled in. Is our discernment good? Is the Lord about to birth a new thing within Falkirk? What do you think? If so, are you still in? If your answer to that question is yes, then you need to consider the cost. To reiterate what I have already said, this is much more than about percentages of income. For some of you, it might mean the Lord is going to require you to pray like you have never prayed before, going without your rest and your free time. For others, it may be the cost of sleep, because the Lord is going to start to require us to pray around the clock. For others, it's still the cost of opening up our homes, maybe to a new small group, maybe to a lodger to stay for a while. And to others, it will mean going without food as the Lord evolves your prayer life into prayer and fasting for the first time. And yes, of course, for others, a review of our income and our outgoings and expenditures. For those of you who can only afford the widow's mite, I say God bless you and thank you for all that you are doing. However, for others of us, for some of us, the call is not about the percentage of our income, but more a test of our faith in His provision for us and for our families. That test of faith may push us way beyond any notions of regular percentages of giving. Saints, we have some time. We have 9 months, in fact, to consider what we feel the Lord is asking us to do. Might He be asking of you to give up your car? Might He be asking you to think about a new career? Maybe He is asking of us to share more of our homes. Maybe to give up our sleep and to sacrifice our free time. The only thing that we cannot do is to do nothing, because April will be upon us in no time at all. And the stark reality of doing nothing is that we will have to stop doing much of what we are doing now. I share this with you not to disturb or to threaten. I share it with you to give you a frank and honest appraisal of where we are at present. So that's about it from me. If I may, I would like to just pray for us before I hand us back to Andrew as you consider that. Over to you as our congregation. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, if we are on the wrong track here, we pray that you would correct our path. If we are on the right track, give us boldness to step into the new season. Help us to be honest and weigh the cost before you, and then give us the courage to be obedient to your call. Amen. And back to you, Andrew.
Thanks, Pete. Lorraine and I really appreciate and value the support that we receive from you and all the trustees, so thank you so much for everything that you do. In recent weeks, we have started to see an easing of restrictions as the impact of COVID-19 seems to be lessening. However, this is still a very dangerous virus, and as much as we would love to gather as a full church or in small groups or other gathered settings, we will be acting with caution as we move forward. You may have seen the news of a coronavirus outbreak in a church in Bremerhaven in Germany last month. They held a church service in early June where around 150 people were in attendance. And it's known that 44 people who attended that service contracted COVID-19 and that a cluster of 112 coronavirus infections and one death was traced back to that church service. Even as restrictions are eased, we will not be rushing back into large gatherings. This week we contacted Falkirk Council and the centre manager of Green Park to find out what planning, if any, was in place towards reopening. As things stand, there is no guidance from the Scottish Government or from Falkirk Council on when community centres will reopen. And we also know that schools will not be available for other activities or groups for the foreseeable future. So therefore, we do not see us physically gathering in the foreseeable future. Now, I know that there's some people who think that this stance exhibits a lack of faith or is kowtowing to governments and earthly authority. Well, two things in response to that. First of all, Jesus said that we should love our neighbour as ourselves. And I believe that this approach aligns us with this foundational message from the Lord. And secondly, In the event that any church goes against government guidelines, although they are only guidelines, they will likely not be covered by our insurance. So if anyone catches COVID-19 at a church event, is subsequently sued, and the church is found to not follow guidelines, then the insurance won't pay out. That could ultimately mean that churches would close through financial bankruptcy. So we are therefore going to be taking a phased approach to returning to Sunday gatherings by starting small and gradually building things up as things ease back to normal. But this is an opportunity to think about what really matters. This is an opportunity to consider church being shaped very differently. It may be that we never do things exactly as we did before. I find this exciting because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start over with a blank page. Now, we at Falkirk Vineyard, we are in a good position because we don't have a building. We are mobile and we are nimble to change and we can react quickly if required. But you know, I believe that this is our opportunity to be the Church of Jesus Christ wherever we are. And this is your time to be vocal and bold about Jesus, to show that he is in you, that the church is the people of God wherever they are, not only when they are gathered, but when they are scattered. So guys, let's make this the new normal. Don't sit around waiting for things to go back to what they were. You know, let's take on board what Peter said in his first letter when he said, instead you, and when he says you there, that's a singular you, that's not a collective you. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. That is not a corporate thing. That's an individual thing. And I believe that if we do this individually, then we will see a move of God. And finally, will you pray for us? Will you pray for Lorraine and I? This has not been an easy season for us. So much change, so many challenges. But I want you to know that we are focused on doing what is right before God and to do our best for you. And will you pray for our leadership team and for our trustees as we lean on them for guidance and wisdom? God is at work. We have a God who is more powerful than we can imagine. He is preparing to move by his Spirit. He's positioning his people for revival. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Let me end with this promise that God gave to Israel in Deuteronomy 11. Now, you're probably going to have to go back and read this a few times because the language is quite poetic. But I believe that this promise is as much for today as it was for the Israelites back then. So let's read that. Deuteronomy 11, starting at verse 8. Be careful to obey every command I am giving you today, so you may have strength to go in and take over the land you are about to enter. If you obey, you will enjoy a long life in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors and to you, their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land you are about to enter and take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you planted your seed and made irrigation ditches with your foot, as in a vegetable garden. Rather, the land you will soon take over is a land of hills and valleys with plenty of rain, a land that the Lord your God cares for. He watches over it through each season of the year. If you carefully obey the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and late rains, so you can bring in your harvests of grain, new wine, and olive oil. I firmly believe that God is preparing his people to enter into a new land and a new season like we've never seen before. And just like the children of Israel, they were leaving behind a land that was godless, but they were familiar with and were settled there. And I believe that God is moving us from a godless season where we are settled and we are a part of, into something new, something vibrant, something full of life, something that is different, something that will change us and change others. And I am excited about that. I am excited about that. So guys, let's not sit back. Let's think about what God wants us to do today. And let's not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself. Put your trust in God. Put your trust in Him. And lean not on your own understanding, or even the understanding of others. Let's get in with God, and let's move with what He's doing. Amen.